And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 1st, 2022, Season 16, Episode 33, or as we like to call it, Number 700. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to In-Game Chat, everybody. Welcome to In-Game Chat. It is, as you can tell, it is our 16th season. It is the 33rd episode, and it is the 700th. 33rd episode of the season, but overall, 700 episodes. Where's the thing? There. Come on now. There. There's a little tight. Stuck. Yaha. All right, we made it to 700. That's it. We're done. No reason to go higher than that, right? And it's spooky season.
Yes, it is.
It is, the seasons of ghosts and goblins and witches and ghouls.
And free candy.
Hey, somebody bought it. Might be free to you, but it ain't free to somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody bought the candy. But yeah, welcome into the show. All of our music for the entire month of October will not necessarily come from horror games, but we'll have a horror, you know, scary, spooky, you know, sense to it.
Horror, spooky, suspenseful.
Right,
uneasy,
exactly.
Uneasy, yeah.
So, like, when you think about Mario Brothers, you don't think, oh, that's not a scary game. But then there's, of course, the Haunted Mansion, the side of Mario World and all that other stuff. So
certain stages have certain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the kind of music that you're going to be hearing. All of it's selected by Wendy, by the way. She enjoys doing that, especially during the Halloween months, searching around for spooky video game music.
Perfect
and that
choice.
Is what we're going to be doing.
Perfect choice, depending based on her favorite genre.
There's a track from
Shin Megami Tensei.
Hey, I got the second word right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a track she selected from that game that is going to come up in today's show. So. Yeah, Lethal Migrants is bye-bye crappy state. Yeah, we're going to get to that. Let me finish reading my script. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Pretty much we're done. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook, same place. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv if you want to see our beautiful faces. Speaking of spooky season. If you want to go to Twitch and be scared, you can just look at us. I'm only speaking for myself, not for RJ. But yeah, you can go there and watch us. You can also join us on Discord and pop into the chat room there and join us on air to talk about Stadia or to talk about whatever it is that you may want to talk about as far as video game related type of stuff. Again, ingamechat.net, I-N... like walking in a door, ingamechat.net is our website. Go all the way to the bottom and you'll find links to everything I just told you about so that you can join us live while we broadcast. So, yeah, we'll let's start with Stadia then. Why not? Yeah. I mean, I want to say it's big news, but I don't know of anybody who really – put any money into it, you know what I'm saying?
It's one of those stories that's like, it's not surprising.
No, of course not.
Based on what it was going through and how people were talking about it, you saw this coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, big as it could have been.
Right. We talked about when Stadia was coming around. I was thinking like, oh man, I should go back and find the old episodes where we talked about how Stadia is not going to last. I was like, well, no, you're not unique. Everybody knew that Stadia was not going to last, or everybody was very skeptical of it surviving ever how long it was going to survive, mainly for the fact of Google's track history, their history in tech, as far as that's concerned. They don't stick with stuff, or if they do, they randomly decide to kill it out of nowhere. So
yeah, it's like something backwards, like something that the public really enjoys, they kill, and something that we really don't care for, they'll stick with it as long as possible.
But I can't tell which side of the fence this falls on.
So horrifically bad that they had to pull out.
I don't know, because I didn't care about it. So that's fine. Yeah. And so this falls in that other category, was just an unsuccessful attempt at getting into gaming, I suppose, or game streaming. Amazon's doing the same thing with their Luna stuff, and I haven't heard anything on that.
Yeah.
I've heard less on that than I have on Stadia. But it was announced earlier this week. I want to say it was Thursday, or maybe it was Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday. No, it was Thursday. And I remember that because, and just Destiny related, Destiny is on Stadia. And every Thursday, Bungie releases a blog of like, hey, here's what's going on with the game, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They had no mention of Stadia in there because this was announced on Thursday. And by everything that we can tell, Google just announced it. In other words, they didn't tell anybody in their dev teams or any kind of partners or anybody else. It was just, yeah, go ahead and release, go ahead and do the press release and let people know it's dead or that we're killing it. But they didn't tell anybody else. Everybody learned about this at the same time as everybody else.
But isn't that par for the course for Google?
I have no idea. I've never really paid attention to it.
No, I mean, in terms of canceling, getting rid of stuff, they just say, oh, we're done, and they're out.
They do, but when... Usually it's an internal thing, so it's not like people have to worry about that. But this has developers who are working for games for Stadia. This has publisher partnerships and things like this that they didn't inform. They didn't tell anybody. So I'm not saying that it's...
It sounds typical to me.
Yeah,
we're out. We're done.
But I don't think they've ever worked with anybody in this way before. You know what I'm saying? That they've had multiple people who were involved with this, not necessarily tied directly to Google, but tied to what they're doing with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like all you ever made was apps for the iPhone. And then Apple said, hey, we're done with the iPhone. It's done. After this week, we're killing it. And then you're like, well, I make apps for you guys, and you didn't even give me a heads up that this was going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way. They didn't give anybody any kind of notice. There was nothing. It was just, we're killing it. This is it. It's done. They're also offering refunds to everybody as well. They're officially shutting down. I'll just read the article. The Stadia. He said in a blog post on Thursday, the announcement comes less than 3 years after the cloud gaming console launched. It will shut down in January of next year. Players who bought Stadia hardware and games will get a refund for their purchases. Quote says, we're grateful to the dedicated Stadia players that have been with us from the start. We'll be refunding all Stadia hardware purchases made through the Google Store and all game and add-on content purchases made through the Stadia Store. Players will continue to have access to their games library and play through January 18th, 2023, so they can stop their final play sessions. We expect to have the majority of refunds completed by mid-January. We'll have more details later on. Let's see. Said Google remains deeply committed to gaming. You shouldn't just stop. We see clear opportunities to apply this technology across other parts of Google, like YouTube, Google Play, and our augmented reality efforts, blah, blah, blah. Revealed in March of 2019 at the Game Developers Conference, Google Stadia, the cloud gaming platform, it launched in November of that year, but without some of the promised features. Yeah, I mean, that's a nice little stroll down memory lane of what it was going to offer that it never did. Let's see. In 2021, Google confirmed that it was shutting down its internal game studios dedicated to Stadia development, and that Stadia Games and Entertainment Vice President was leaving the company. And yeah, so they already shut down their internal studios, but there were other people who were working on and publisher things that they had going on as well. And apparently it was all news to them. I know, but I say it's news to them. I'm sure in the back of their mind, they're thinking at some point it's this bridge is going to collapse. You know, this unstable ground is going to fall from beneath our feet.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it did, because Google's history, man, Google's history of this stuff, you know, this is the way. This is how it goes with Google. I never put any investment into it. I did. It was they had some kind of friends and family thing. So one of our guys in our clan on Destiny, he got a Stadia thing to check it out. And he had that friends and family stuff. So he gave out a code and I could play with him through his account on like Destiny and stuff. And I gave that a shot just to see. Let's just give it a shot. Now, I did do some beta testing with it. For Assassin's Creed Origins, I think it was, or the Greek one. I can't remember which one it was that I beta tested. Me and Matt did beta test with it. Smooth. Was nice. It was awesome. It was really, really cool to actually load into a web browser and play it and have a game come up just like it would be if I was running it on my system at home. And there was no lag. Again, this was beta testing, so it wasn't as whatever it was when it hit retail release. Mm-hmm. But I had no problem playing what I was playing. I thought, hey, this is really cool.
Yeah. Well, Margaret said in the chat room about internet, too bad for streaming only to work, because I was thinking about competitive playing with other people, having multiple people playing the same game. How would that work? Because Assassin's Creed was a single player game, right?
Yeah.
It's a single player. So what about something multiplayer or competitive?
Destiny is one of those things where you could,
smooth as silk?
We never had a problem with it at all.
Okay. Was it local or people in internet?
Oh, no. It was. I played with one of our clanmates. He lives up in Pittsburgh, I think.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, okay. Somewhere up there. I mean, it was, you know, good distance away.
Okay.
And you know, we played Destiny. It was one of those things where you could go, you could get into some ranked matches, PvP.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I think you were only they didn't have cross-play initiated yet, so it was just cross-save.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe that was the case. And so you could get into the ranked PvP stuff where, like, wins matter and that sort of thing, but you would only be tied with the Stadia people. And Stadia people really weren't, there was not a lot of, there were new players, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go in there and you'd be ranked with people who were just kind of getting into the game, not really whatever, and you could, you know, move up your rank and that sort of thing. So we did do some PvP stuff and it played fine. Mm-hmm. It really did. I didn't like it, mainly because it was not one-to-one, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it played fine, but compared to playing it off your hard drive as opposed to playing it over streaming, there was a difference. Mm. It didn't affect you as much, but
was it it was noticeably different?
I mean, you could tell.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that would impede your game. It wasn't anything that was a problem that kept you from playing the game or even enjoying the game.
Mm-hmm.
But being, it's just like going from mouse and keyboard back to a controller, going from what you know as like this solid experience to this, which was close, not there, but close. It was like, let's stay on the other side, you know, with that. But again, now you're right though, single player games, which I never actually touched outside of doing the beta testing for Assassin's Creed. I don't know how well those worked, but regardless, it doesn't really matter now, actually. Let's see. Lethal Migraine. Southeast Asia is about the only part of the world with good enough internet for a Stadia type service. Yeah, you know, Lethal, I played, I did the cloud streaming over Microsoft, the Xbox Live thing. It was interesting to do, but given the option, I would rather install it on the hard drive and play it rather than play it over the cloud.
Yeah.
played fine, but there were elements of when the game would get pixelated a little bit because it was trying to catch up
trying to catch up, yeah.
Yeah, so. But yeah, so.
Yeah, it was something else. I mean, we're always used to putting it off disk or off the hard drive. I mean, something going through internet, especially if you don't have the best internet in the world, kind of spotty, you'd rather prefer disk or hard drive.
Right. Yeah.
So
no, it's all anything like that, with the exception, I guess, apparently of like watching entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I stream Netflix all day. I stream everything is almost streaming. I don't think I've put a disc into a device to watch a movie in a long time.
Well, streaming for entertainment doesn't seem to be very hard on resources, but in terms of gaming wise, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Got a lot of resources on there, so that's why you use those formats for that.
Yeah, going back to that, the Stadia developers still working on games were shocked to hear of the shutdown. Developers still hard at work on Google Stadia projects have been expressing their shock and frustration at the cloud gaming service impending shutdown. Google's announcement yesterday that it would shutter Stadia completely in January came as a complete surprise. All have said, even those with upcoming projects set to arrive in November. Somebody on Twitter said, oh boy, very happy to see months of my work going in the bin again, said Simon Roth, an indie developer. I sure do love game development, he said. Every time something bad happens in games, he continued, the people affected, sometimes having their lives turned upside down, learn from the press or Twitter. No emails, phone calls, no heads up, no note on the website. Brandon, go ahead.
I was about to say, what's the penalty? I mean, some contracts were broken, I'd imagine. So any major penalty for Google in that case?
Probably not.
So,
because Google likely would not have signed a contract with them. They would have signed a contract with Google. Mm-hmm. Google. And I'm sure somewhere in the wording on that would have said Google reserves the right at any time to
Did you read the fine print?
Yeah, to cancel this or to whatever the case may be.
We can pull this anytime we want to. Okay, yeah.
Brandon Sheffield on Twitter said, I know everybody is having a great time laughing at this, but Stadia had the best dev revenue of any streaming service. In other words, I guess their cut was a better percentage than anything else.
Yeah.
And launching Hyper Gunsport there was going to recoup our dev costs. We were launching there in November and are now in a much tougher situation. Mm. Tangle Tower was due to launch on Stadia in 2 days' time, and this article was the first I heard about it shutting down, wrote another developer. We have a title coming out November 1st, wrote another developer. Now we hear about this. Mike Rose of No More Robots says, oh my God, we have a game coming to Stadia in November. Who wants to guess that Google will refuse to pay us the money they owe us for it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, of course, because if you're going to release a game now and people are going to buy it, they're refunding the games in November, in January. They're refunding your purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to bring about. Also, another thing was IO Interactive, Ubisoft, and Bungie are apparently working to bring the game saves over to PC. Let me see here. According to Ubisoft, it is currently working on Stadia users being able to transfer their games to PC through Ubisoft Connect. A timeline for the option wasn't specified, but the company said specific details will come at a later date. Hitman developer IO Interactive took to Twitter to assure players it's looking into ways for players to continue their Hitman experience on other platforms. And Bungie, one of Stadia's early adopters, is having conversations on the next step for its players, whatever that may mean. I will tell you this. There was, in fact, he's right here on, and you, if you're, I'm sorry, I looked away from my microphone. You can't hear me when I do that. If you can see, can you see the monitor there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy right here, Luxtruck9.
Yeah.
This guy, you see this over here?
Mm-hmm.
These are all checkpoints in Destiny 2.
Okay.
So if I want to get directly to the Golgoroth, the giant ogre in King's Fall raid, and jump to that, I can. If I want to go straight to Oryx, the boss, and jump to it, I can do that and grab the checkpoint on my own character using this. these accounts that he has set up are all Stadia accounts.
Oh.
And he keeps them going so that they can hold these checkpoints in all of these different events in Destiny 2 so that people can just grab those checkpoints when they need them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't like to play through the whole thing just to get to the boss. We want to, or we want to get to the boss and then we want to farm him, like, you know, for our three different characters or whatever the case may be. He's got all of those accounts set up, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it's about 10, 11. There's probably more than that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are all set up to do that. What's going to happen now, I have no idea.
This is only available for Stadia.
That's how he was doing it with Stadia.
Okay.
Because Destiny is free to play, and Stadia was, I guess, free to use. Like, you didn't have to pay to use it, but, you know, if you wanted the controller and all this other stuff, it was, you would have to, or, you know, if you bought games, that's fine. That's one thing. But Destiny's free to play. So he could set all these up in the free to play areas. Didn't cost him a thing other than making accounts. But he didn't have to spend any money to do that. So, yeah, might be a little bit harder to do on Steam, but he may, I don't know.
I was just about to ask you if this checkpoint system can be set up on other platforms for Destiny.
It can, I think. I don't know because I don't do this. So I think it can. I don't know if it can or not, but we're kind of curious as to how that's going
to
go.
We're about to find out.
Or what may happen. It may just be wrong.
Yeah.
Let's see. AC Wraith says, I like how the Video Game History Foundation bought memorabilia early, knowing Google would shut it down so they could sell it on eBay for funding. Yeah, I saw something about that.
Made a good prediction then.
Especially, there was another nostalgia piece where somebody had seen the way Google had displayed the Stadia device at one of the trade events.
Okay.
You know, and it was positioned next to, like, an Atari and, I don't know, some other historic video game platform, as though it was joining the ranks of a historic video game platform. I never really gave it two thoughts, honestly.
Yeah.
Forgetting it existed, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Why? One of the reasons they're probably shutting it down, but...
A little presumptuous, wouldn't you say?
I mean, it's Google. It's Google.
A little presumptuous.
So, yeah, that's I wouldn't expect anything less from the Google. Let's go to the phones that are not powered by Google and talk to... Hi, you're on Endgame Chat. Who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Finally decided to get into something else. I finally got Stray on PlayStation 5 physical in and got through it and beat it. And I really enjoyed that one. Kind of short story, but it was fun while it lasted.
Is that one you bought, or did you get it through, like, their PlayStation Plus thing, or what?
I reserved a physical copy through GameStop. It came out, I think, last Friday or last Tuesday or something like that. But, you know, if you've heard or read the articles, GameStop was having issues sending out orders and everything, but I found out from the managers that it was a system software update issue where the warehouses didn't know what titles to send to the stores that they had people that had reserved titles and stuff, and they weren't communicating really good, so I had to wait a long time, and I still hadn't got two of the collector's editions of Made in Abyss from the Nintendo Switch that came out last month, and I still hadn't got those two.
Yeah, I had marked this article from Kotaku about GameStop having some pre-order problems now. I guess maybe it's been ironed out.
Yeah, but they're still getting caught back up and all, and they had to send so many emails and all that, you know, and they were flipping mad as much as I was and all too, but it seemed like it took them forever to realize and respond to their, you know, the emails they sent through corporate, but they kept sending and sending to try to get their attention.
Yeah,
and let them know about this.
Yeah, one employee wrote in an email, "The inventories in our system are unreliable right now. We are receiving shipments from the warehouse that do not even appear on our receiving list, so they've got us opening the boxes, recording the inventories, and emailing them back to inventory control. It took me the better part of my day today just to process four boxes this way." I don't know what that was for, but...
Yeah, it's just not locally here. It's like, you know, like you said, it's all over the place, and they had to upgrade or do something with it, and it screwed everything up.
We were shorted on multiple copies of NBA 2K, and collectible pre-orders never arrive on time. We can only refund pre-order cancels as store credit if it's been longer than a month, too. It doesn't matter if you paid cash or not. Yikes. I've had 6 customers cancel their pre-orders because they didn't get theirs. Boss is getting on me about getting pre-orders, but I can't help it if people are beginning to lose trust in us. What's the point in pre-ordering a game if you can't get it anyway?
Yeah, man.
I don't know. It's one of those situations. About the only thing I pre-order on a game is like if it's a collector type edition where it's has a chance of being not available. And even then, lately, I pulled back on that a lot.
You would go to Amazon for that normally, wouldn't you?
Yeah, mostly. I would go wherever it might be available, but usually Best Buy, Amazon, something like that. Yeah. Not necessarily that I have anything against GameStop. It was just that I would have credit or I would have points or something like that to use with those other stores.
I was thinking more along the lines of availability and options.
Yeah.
In case something goes wrong, you have a better chance with that. With other
this is true. The other thing with Amazon is that they don't charge you until ships, that sort of thing.
That's one of the biggest options. We don't charge until we get it out to you.
Yeah, and it used to be that way, man. It used to be, I think back to this past year, this past generation with the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, mm-hmm. Two consoles that I did not put in the first time, I guess, in my console life that I didn't put in a pre-order at a GameStop store, which is normally what I do because they do midnight releases and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But given everything that was going on with the pandemic on the release and that sort of thing, it kind of changed how everything was done.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting both of my systems through Best Buy through a late night Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was able to put those in, so yeah. Anyway,
yeah. In my case, it was something else along those lines of I haven't put a pre-order in since '99. I've always waited until the library built up.
Yeah.
In my case.
Well, of course. not so with me.
Yeah.
I've got money that's just burning a hole in my pocket. I need to get rid of it.
In your case, you got tons of credit.
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah, that stuff's been used. What else is going on, Chris, before we let you go here? Because we're at the bottom of the hour. But what else is going on?
Found a yard sale the other day, or my dad found one and told me about it before I left the house. And they're right around the road from us where we live in the country. And got to talking to the couple and everything and ended up finding an old Bachmann G-scale train set, you know, from the mid 80s, you know, really, really old.
Yeah.
Ended up spending $150 on it. But just talking to them so much, they trust me enough for me to write them and give them a check, which they'd normally prefer cash. But we went back and saw them again, and I just got finished just a few minutes ago unboxing the thing and going through all the pieces and getting the track out and everything. And you know, of course, the old manual has tape all over it, but I was able to clear off the pieces of tape and, you know, cut the excess junk and everything that was stuck to it. But, yeah, it's completing the box and everything. You know, it's in great shape, but I have to go through and get a piece of steel wool and scrub the metal rail so it'll make good contact for the power to go through it and all through the system. But
I remember having to do that. I had some kind of, I don't know if it was a train set. I don't exactly know what it was, but I had something where I had to take this specific cloth of some sort and rub it over the rails of whatever it was so that the connection between the track or whatever would work. I can't remember what that was. I want to say it was a train, but I'm not sure if it was. But I do remember.
You can use an eraser. You can use an eraser to do that and rub it along, you know, and do that. And
this goes back a long ways. I don't know how long ago this was. This goes a good ways back for when I was doing it, because I do remember I'd get shocked a little bit. There'd be a little bit of a shock when I was doing that.
A bit of a tingle.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't even know. I don't think it was static electricity, but yeah, there'd be a little shock there. I can't remember what I was using. I really would like to remember that, but it was something. Mm-hmm. I remember having to do that. I think I hated having to do that, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the worst part about all those metal and all. It all oxidizes and corrodes from just being out in the environment and everything, and got to get it good and clean for it, the juice to flow and make a good connection with the wheels of the train and all.
Yep. Well, Chris, it's good hearing from you as always, man. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, same to y'all. Y'all have a good one. See y'all later.
Later,
man. Take care now.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our first break as we go into our Halloween music for the week. This one comes from Conker's Bad Fur Day, right? You wouldn't think, hey, there's nothing scary in there. Well, there's really not, but there was apparently a level or a boss or something. This is Count Batula.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like Batula. Count Batula. Anyway, that's what this is. We will be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Castlevania, Dawn of Sorrow. Gloomy Memories is the name of the track. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, we're doing all Halloween music kind of thing, you know. Stuff like this from video games for the entire month of October. And Wendy wishes all of you a very happy spooky season, as this is the first day of spooky season. We get into what we played. Everybody knows what I did. What did you play this week? Anything new?
Well, I tried to do something with my alt characters in Elden Ring. I tried to fight Millennia with all my alt characters. It did not go very well.
I have no idea. The way you made it sound like it didn't go well.
Oh, no, it never goes well. Fighting Millennia in Elden Ring never goes well. but she's worth a lot of runes, and I needed to build up the stats of my characters, so I forced my way through doing that. She was worth a lot of runes, like 500,000 to 600,000, depending on how you perk yourself up. But eventually you get there and do it, and I was able to do it with a couple. And turns out that I was missing a whole bunch of trophies in the game. I had to get some certain items that collectively amongst all my playthroughs I was able to get, but never on a single character. So I had to spend some time doing that, getting all my trophies lined up. So now I only got one trophy left to do. And basically all I have to do is get the Frenzied Flame ending, and I'd have a platinum for Elden Ring. And I haven't got a platinum for a game in a long time. I think the last time I got one was for Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
That was the last time I platinumed a game to play it long enough to do so. And Elden Ring, if I get this one ending, I'll be able to do that with it. Outside of that, played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5 online. There was a new event, skydiving. Basically one of the in-game brands, Junk Energy Drinks, had the sponsored skydiving event. I hate skydiving in this game. I really do. I've never really put a lot of work into it, really, but trying to be accurate. You have to be hit all the checkpoints, get it within time, hit this landing spot perfectly to get all the money for it. I'm like, you know what? There are easier ways to get money in this game than skydiving and face planting in the side of a mountain, which is what I did repeatedly over and over and over again. Yeah. But that's pretty much what I've played this week.
Yeah, for me, it was Destiny. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I finally got the last piece that I needed to hit level cap, you know, to round it all out. 1580 on everything, so.
Max, 1580 is max? With the catalyst and all?
That's the pinnacle max, yeah.
Okay.
In other words, 1570 is the soft cap, 1580 is the pinnacle cap.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now with your artifact that adds, you know, just keeps adding power level to you as you go.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm sitting at 1595. No, 1596.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm currently sitting at 1596, and which at the end of the season, I'll just fall back to 1580. Everything resets, but that's not happening until sometime in December, I believe. So, but yeah, I'm kind of again, you know, I've talked about it before when I banked all my bounties and I was getting everything ready for the new season so that I could launch in and just claim a bunch of stuff and move my XP bar and everything else, just get a jump on the season so that I could try that raid the week of. I don't have a raid to worry about coming up next season, but I really kind of enjoy this, where it's put me. I'm kind of doing other stuff to the,
I want to say you're not stressing to get this thing done or whatever.
I don't necessarily know about stressing, but normally I have these goals I got to hit, you know, because, hey, I need to do this because, you know, these weeks start piling up and everything and you got things to do. Well, I'm good. You know, right now I'm taking care of some little tiny things. Grandmasters start next week. The uber challenging Nightfalls activities. So those start next week, and I'm ready for those. You have to be 15 above pinnacle cap to do those, and I am 16 above pinnacle cap. So, I mean, I'm ready to do them. But, so we'll run the raid again tonight, but I'm good there. I don't necessarily need to run it. And I may back out tonight. I don't know, just because I don't need to. I could work on some other things and just not do that, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see when we get there. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing, playing Destiny. And anything else? No, I didn't play anything else. I did fire up my PlayStation to download last month's PlayStation. I say last month, but September's free games for that. And speaking of, we've got what is coming in October for PlayStation Plus. It'll be Injustice 2, Super Hot, and Hot Wheels Unleashed.
Hmm.
You're part of PlayStation Plus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot Wheels. Wait a second. Let me see. Which usually there's something that is just for PS. Okay. Never mind. They're all. If you have PS4, you're fine. So Hot Wheels Unleashed will be your PS5 game, but if you have PS4, you can still get that one because it was released on both systems. Injustice 2 and, of course, Super Hot as well. So, yeah, Hot Wheels Unleashed, not bad. Not bad. I did not stick with it as much as I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
The look of the cars, the way the tracks are built, really kind of cool, but I did not stick with it as much as I thought that I would really put some time and effort into it.
I think the way you were describing it last time, I was thinking of a Revolt back in the day on Dreamcast, which is essentially a really jazzy version of RC Pro-Am.
Yeah.
Yeah. fireworks for instead of fireworks for missiles, marbles, oil slicks, things of that nature.
Yeah, it's a good looking game. Yeah. It's a great looking game, to be honest with you, for Hot Wheels. There's a lot of detail in that that you wouldn't I mean, it's Hot Wheels, so you wouldn't expect that. But you can look at the cars and there's wear on the tires from where you've been running them. They're plastic, and the detail, the texture, whatever, gives it that plastic, like it's been worn, mm-hmm. you know, as you've been using it on the track. It's just really, really good, the attention to detail that they put into those cars. And there's a number of different cars for you to unlock, you know, some themed, some not, like, you know, Mystery Machine or the A-Team van or something like that. But then there's stuff that are just Hot Wheels staples, like some of the hot rods mm-hmm. That had the big motors and stuff coming out of them and that sort of thing, or just a regular car. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really well done. So, yeah, check that out next month if you've got – or this month really is what it is, if you've got PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. We also got the games that will come out with Xbox Game with Gold or Games with Gold, whatever it is. It's two games. Remember, last month, September, was the last time they were going to release an Xbox 360 title. And they gave you Portal to close out that whole situation. So now it's just two. You know, they're both Xbox One games, I think. Windbound is one of them. And Bomber Crew Deluxe Edition is the other one. Windbound is available now. And Bomber Crew Deluxe will be available from the middle of the month to the middle of November. So, yep, there you go. And what else do we have that happened? Skull and Bones got delayed. Again, there's not really any news here because Skull and Bones... I was never sitting on pins and needles like, oh, I'm counting down the days till Skull and Bones gets released. Oh, it's delayed. Well, now I'm disappointed. No, I'm not. I wasn't really counting down the days till that release. Maybe there were some people who were. I don't see how you could have been because we haven't had enough updates for you to be that excited about it getting released anytime soon. But it has moved now. This is a game that was announced in 2017. Yeah. It's also Ubisoft, by the way, I should say. This is the Splinter Cell Ubisoft group. Who haven't released a new Splinter Cell since 2013, I think. But yeah, it was announced in 2017. It was going to be released in the fall. However, in May of 2018, they delayed the game to 2019. When that rolled around, the game was then pushed to the 2020-2021 fiscal year. Then, back in July of this year, they finally said, hey, we're going to release it on November the 8th. Nope. We're pushing it back again to March the 9th of 2023. Mm. The reason for the latest delay, according to Ubisoft, is the team needs extra time for polishing and balancing to give players the best possible experience. They did say an open beta is coming in the near future, but we don't have any word on when the near future will be.
Is that the go-to phrase for delays now? The polishing?
I think so. A lot of the times, it is. Mm-hmm. It's an easy way to just throw that out there and say that covers why we're doing the delay, because technically it probably is something that has to do with polishing and balancing. There could be other things as well, but those could also fall under an umbrella of polishing or balancing, mm-hmm. you know? But it gives them free rein to put that out there so that they can delay
just
whatever.
Just vague enough to just... satisfy the masses.
I don't think
I don't know about satisfying, but some that'll go over.
It's probably a number of different things. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, and it's fine. It's again, this was not a game that was on my radar because, again, it was announced in 2017. Mm-hmm. So with all the delays that had happened, this is the fifth. I wasn't necessarily surprised, nor was I counting the days until I could get my hands on it or whatever. So pretty fine with that. E3 is returning next year, and they're splitting it up. What are they doing? in June. Oh, that's right. Reed Pop is taking it over. Reed Pop are the guys who do the New York City Comic Con and Penny Arcade Expo, PAX. Mm. They're changing the scheduling, and they're going to split the event. The big event will return to the Los Angeles Convention Center beginning on June 13th, 2023, with what's called E3 Business Days. That'll be restricted to registered industry personnel for hands-on time with upcoming games and probably lots of meetings and stuff. E3 Business Days will run until June 15th. So 13, 14, 15. Sounds kind of like what E3 was. June 15th will also see the start of the open to all, as long as you have a ticket, E3 Gamer Days, inviting consumers to go hands-on with the future of gaming, connect with the developers, content creators, media personalities, and more. E3 Gamer Days will be held in a separate hall at the convention center, presumably to avoid potential rumbling with the business types, and will run through June 16th, so 2 days on that one, giving attendees the opportunity to go hands-on with the future of... Blah, 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 blah. Leading up to all this will be a series of partner digital events that will begin on June 11th and run for the duration of the show. E3 is... Yeah. Okay.
First half business, second half play.
I guess, although business sounds like what E3 was. The business days, that sounds mm-hmm. like, what did it say? Inviting registered industry personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they get 3 days, and then the gamers get 2 days, depending on how much tickets cost. Tickets used to be, if you were not in the biz, as it were, the ticket prices were just horrible. $400 for a 3-day pass or whatever it was to get you on the show floor.
Mm.
It was horrible. The prices were, it felt like it was actively trying to
like business prices.
Keep you from going.
Yeah, sounds like business prices. Yeah.
So anyway, I know I'm of the thought that E3 should just go digital. Just do what you've been doing. It's working
mm-hmm.
to me. It is. So, let's see. I've got some other stuff that I want to talk about, but we can hold off until after the break here to go in that. We'll update you on the Grand Theft Auto thing with the guy who was apprehended, taken into custody at least. Again, I don't have any confirmation that he is linked to that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
That story, once the guy got arrested, has kind of just gone. Nobody's talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. A leak that big, you see, it lasted a week,
mm-hmm.
if that, before just nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. You know? It's interesting. I've always wondered what would happen if something like that sort of took place. What would the reaction be? What does it mean for the game? That sort of thing. Apparently, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of a hint of what the game's going to look like, and that's it. And completely out of context of whatever they're trying to do, so meant nothing.
Yeah. I mean, the videos are still out there, right?
Yeah, not easy and they didn't stop anything.
There, yeah.
The development on the game didn't stop or pause or need to go back to the drawing board or anything like that. So,
we said last time they wouldn't anyway. So they're going to keep on going.
Yeah, regardless. I feel like they really did nothing. So
mm-hmm.
anyway. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump into that, the GTA thing. What do we got? Steam sale dates. Intel launched a graphics card, or at least announced the launch of a graphics card. I don't know about an Intel graphics card. We'll see. That's kind of a new thing for them, but we'll see about that. I don't know. We got some other stories to cover as well. And, of course, if you want to get in on the conversation, all you need to do is call or jump on Discord. Join us there, and you can talk with us live while we're doing the show. Anyway, we're going to take a break. This music comes from Shin Megami 4. Are there 4 of them?
Probably more than that, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that title's been made so many times, it's ridiculous.
Well, this comes in. This comes from the fourth game. It's called Reverse Hills,
mm-hmm.
is the name of the track. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Pac-Man World 2. Strange enough, called The Haunted Boardwalk is the name of that track. So, and welcome back to the show, everybody. So yeah, more stuff to talk about here. Just little bitty odds and ends, really. I mean, I guess the big story of the week was that Stadia situation, which makes you wonder, what would the big story of the week been if Stadia hadn't happened? Because really, that wasn't too big either, for the most part. Let's see. 17-year-old suspect believed to be behind the recent hack of Grand Theft Auto maker Rockstar Games has pled not guilty to the charge of computer misuse. However, the teen did plead guilty to breaching bail conditions. Now being held at a youth detention center currently. Let's see. The suspect is believed to be a part of the hacking group. That's it. Again, they think he's the one that did it, but there's currently nothing that is confirmed that that is the case. So, and that's all. That's the news we have of the guy who leaked Grand Theft Auto 6. I haven't read anything about Intel's new graphics card. You know, we were talking about graphics cards. Obviously, when EVGA split with NVIDIA,
right?
Then a week later, NVIDIA said, here's our new graphics cards at horrible prices.
Mm-hmm. That they doubled down on already, saying they're not going to change the price of.
Yeah, $900 entry fee for your graphics card. That is your base lowest tier so far. Will there be lower tiers announced? I believe there will be. But you're starting at $900. So even to go lower than that, your pricing is going to be around $700 maybe for like the low of the low in the 40 series that they'll do. And that's just a guesstimate. I don't have any idea if that's going to be the case, but I don't know. It's just... I'll get a 40 series probably when they are announcing the 60 series of cards at that point.
Yeah.
So.
About to say this one, why go 40? Stick with your 30. It still performs well.
Let's see. We've been waiting a long time for this. Intel has finally unveiled the release date and price of its upcoming Arc A770 graphics card. October the 12th, and the price will be $330. Not bad. Intel said it would be competitive on price for its upcoming A770 and A750 graphic cards, and it looks to be the case for the A770. No price yet for the A750. The 770 is reportedly going to face off against the RTX 3060 as far as performance is concerned. What the Arc can do is on par with what the 3060 can do. Intel says it will be a match or better in at least DX12 and Vulkan games. The price makes a lot of sense. It's actually the exact same price as the 3060. Although Intel says that no 3060s are actually available for that price, because the current price is around $400 for that card. So, yeah. Let's see. Intel did previously tell us we'd see a card that's faster than the 3060 at prices that are lower. So, yeah, I'm just looking. This is my first time reading over this. After a look around at a couple of retailers just now, I'm inclined to agree that NVIDIA's card doesn't sell close to its MSRP, though you can at least find them for a touch cheaper than mentioned, like an MSI model that's $410. But point made, Intel, if it can stick to that price and maintain a steady supply of cards, which it says it has plenty of but will roll out gradually, it may well prove a decent card for gamers on a slimmer budget. Yeah. All right. Oh, great. Welcome, Intel, to the graphics card wars, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Still waiting on AMD. November, we'll know about AMD. And that'll be interesting because AMD can look at it and say, hey, if we priced the same, then we can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if we price just a little bit lower, we might could still make a lot of money, or we could really go at this thing and drop it much further than what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really be your... And it wouldn't even be a bar, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to be like your bargain bin type graphics card thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it would still be, AMD cards are good.
It's a serviceable card.
Yeah, AMD cards are fine.
Yeah.
I happen to be a Team Green guy just because that's where I've been, but I will tell you right now, if they release a card that is on par with what NVIDIA is releasing at a massively lower price, I have no problem jumping ship. Not at all.
It's a beautiful thing for the consumer when there's competition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily know that we have competition yet.
Yeah.
They have to be competitive. And if they're not, then, you know, then I'll be on my card for a while, which I have no desire to move off my card. My card is brand new. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in jumping ship off of that card yet.
Yeah. Run it till it wear out.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, man. Scary moment today. I check around around 10 o'clock, close to 10. I check every morning the computers here at the station to make sure everybody who is remotely doing their air shifts has sent over their talk breaks and everything else they have to do on a number of different stations here.
Right, right.
And so I check and I check on those and. I said, oh, okay, well, these came through, but there's two missing. I need to go grab those, which is not something that is out of the ordinary. I usually typically have to log into these other people's PCs. I go into their file systems, and I just transfer files over and over, which is exactly how I get this show. Mm-hmm. This show, once it's done, that's how I get it to the house. I just do a file transfer from here to my computer at the house.
Much more efficiently, we found out.
Yeah, I don't need you, Mr. USB stick. In fact, once we're done with the show, I'll go into that room and I'll set everything up and get it transferred, and it'll be ready when I get home. It'll be ready within 2 minutes of me starting it. It's that fast.
Yep.
To send it over. But anyway, so I go into these files, and it opens up the file transfer that I normally have set up. And it says that it can't connect to the folder that I normally use. And I thought, well, that's odd. So I went into a different folder in the same subset of folders.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, well, this is working. I send over get the tracks pulled onto my computer so that then I can log into the computer here and send them here, put them in the correct files and everything else. It wasn't working. It was showing that it was sending, but it was sending it, you know, just like that. And it was not refreshing over here to show that they had been received. And I was like, what's going on? So I did a restart of the computer. When it came back up, I'm missing the entire hard drive where all of this stuff is held. It's not even seeing that hard drive. There's more than just my work stuff on there. There's other things on there, and it's completely gone. And I was like, oh, man. Started sweating at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, there's no way this drive could have died already. You know, so this time I do a full shutdown. I shut down the computer completely, not a restart. I just shut it down, turn it back on, go into the BIOS, look at it there. It's being recognized. I don't know why I'm getting this. I go back into the system, and there it is. It's back to normal. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those quick little flashes of scares of, oh, God, what's happened?
Yeah. Well, the part of your story where you said this drive couldn't have died already. I couldn't disagree more because drives die.
They do.
All
they
the
do.
Time, man.
They do. They do. I've had it happen to me before. Oh, I had it happen.
What's the quickest you've had a drive die on you?
I don't know. I don't know about the quickest, but I will say at the most inopportune time.
It's all inopportune.
There
every
was.
Time, every time is inopportune.
So friends of the show, like James, James and Dana and Ben and Kim were over at the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is going years back. And Dana wanted to show Kim something on my computer, or at least on the internet. It's like, can we go use your computer? I want to show her this video on the internet, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is going way back, pre-Reddit days, pre-Facebook, pre-MySpace stuff. It was just, I don't know. I have no idea what it was that they wanted to see. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And sure enough, They get back there and they're like, hey, your computer's not working. I thought, what? What did you, you know, thinking, I just one of those situations where if I had done it myself, would have been one thing, but because somebody else went in there and it broke, it's like, what did you do? They did absolutely nothing. The hard drive just died.
Yeah.
They did nothing. They did not do anything wrong to it. It just happened to be when they wanted to go back there and use it, the hard drive decided to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. And back, like, back it was just some off-brand hard drive I had in my early building days.
Yeah.
And I forget the brand, but it was something that was well known, but it died, and I lost a lot of data that day. And ever since then, I had a Western Digital Black Series, and I haven't changed since.
Yeah, it was Western Digital that died on me at that moment. The example that I'm giving you now, that was a Western Digital.
Yeah.
But, which I just can't break away from brand loyalty on that. I mean, I have, but there is always a Western Digital in any of my boxes. I have a number of different hard drives. One of those is going to be a Western Digital.
Yeah. I mean, but I remember the blue series, the gold, the red, and all that
stuff.
There's
the red, the blue, the green, the black.
But the black was the one that was like, had the reputation of being the most durable.
It was,
So I stuck with that from
it's the most expensive. It's the pricier of all of their brands, I think, of all their brands, or all their different sub-brands, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It has faster speed, more reliability, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the others have less reliability, but they move slower and, you know, have bigger capacity or something like that. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway.
Yeah, but that was my case. Something died on me, and I went from one that was more durable, and I stuck with that ever since. But yeah, drives can die at any given time, no matter how new out the box it is.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. So, yeah. Lethal Migraine says AMD will grab a lot of market share if they price their new cards right. Exactly. That was my whole point, was like,
if they play it right.
If they do it, and man, it's not hard to... I feel like it's not hard to get right, but it's also real easy to screw up. You know?
You could go the simple way, but which one maximizes profit for your company?
That's I don't know.
That's where you get into the, let's play it this way instead of the simple, obvious way. So you maximize profit. When you start trying to do that, maybe that's when the mess-ups start happening.
I hope it's enough to just, you know, smack NVIDIA upside the head. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's what everyone's hoping for. Something to make NVIDIA listen up, say, hey.
Like almost close to half, I would say. Or keep the prices that, you know, lower the prices on your current cards.
Yeah, force the issue.
And then keep your prices the same for your newer cards.
Yeah.
Like, hey, okay, we're going to release them at the same prices as these cards released. We're dropping the price of our previous series, and this price is going to take, or this series is going to take over in that price slot.
The only way to make them do that is make them feel the loss. If they got someone else, another option that'll help them do that, so be it.
We'll see.
But that's the only thing that's going to make them change their idea. Because the guy came out and doubled down. I mean, he like
really said, we're
not moving these prices.
Well, no, we're not.
The market can force you to do so if the right things fall into place.
What else we got? Overwatch 2, which, you know, is not anything. I never played Overwatch 1.
Yeah, but you hear enough about it as far as
you
a
do.
Pretty popular game, so yeah. We get the gist of everything going on in there, yeah.
Overwatch 2 players who are brand new to the franchise, meaning those who never played the original Overwatch, will need to spend considerable time with the sequel to unlock the game's existing roster of 32 heroes. Blizzard Entertainment said Tuesday that as part of Overwatch 2's first-time user experience, new players will unlock the game's modes and all original Overwatch heroes over the course of approximately 100 matches. Overwatch 2's first-time user experience will quickly unlock all game modes and in-game chat. Hey, that's us. Said Blizzard, but new players will need to win 50 matches in quick play mode to access competitive games and complete about 100 matches to unlock almost all of the game's characters. Blizzard said most of the new player restrictions are lifted when playing in a group, so new players can team up with their friends at any time to play almost any game modes, with competitive mode being the exception. Players moving from the original Overwatch to Overwatch 2 will have access to 34 out of the game's 35 heroes at launch. Existing Overwatch players can also expect some changes in 2. nothing that seems significant to mention. Starting October 4th, Overwatch 2's launch day, players will need to have a phone number attached to their Battle.net account to play. That feature is called SMS Protect and is described as an additional layer of security aimed at preventing cheating and other bad player behaviors. They said the phone number attached to a Battle.net account cannot be used on multiple accounts at the same time, and players can't use the same phone number to create multiple accounts, and that certain types of numbers, including prepaid and voiceover IP, cannot be used for SMS Protect. Interesting. Yeah, I'm wondering how much of this is carrying over when Microsoft takes over.
Seems to be a lot for a new player on a new player's plate.
It would be, but I would imagine,
because how long would the new folks stick with it, so to speak?
I don't know, man. Overwatch was such a big thing. I can't think that somebody hasn't already played it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Or that somebody who's
if you haven't played it by now.
Right. Somebody that's going to play two hasn't played the first one, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they do some type of quality of life change where it's like, hey, this is better than what one was. Kind of like where a lot of people didn't play. Well, that's not really, that doesn't really count. Well, first off, did you ever play Team Fortress?
I had the game. But I never.
I have Team Fortress 2.
Oh, yeah, 2.
But I don't have Team Fortress.
Oh, as far as you. You know what? You said Team Fortress. I thought 2. I thought about 2. I never I never thought about the original.
Exactly.
I've only played 2. Yeah,
exactly.
I've only thought about 2.
Because nobody's played. Well, I'm sure people played 1, but it's just one of those things.
What does that game look like, Team Fortress 2?
Team Fortress 1?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never even considered it.
I got the internet right in front of my face, and I'm asking questions.
It feels like Team Fortress 2 has existed even without Team Fortress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What?
I key in Team Fortress, and the first thing pops up is Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. People also ask, is Team Fortress 1 a thing?
Exactly.
Okay, Team Fortress Classic. Okay,
I guess that's the name of it. It's like that old Bill Cosby movie, Leonard Part 6.
Yeah,
well, it's like, wait, where's the other five?
Five, yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah, it's called Team Fortress Classic. And, it looks nothing like...
I'm sure it doesn't.
Looks nothing like 2.
I'm sure it doesn't.
But, yeah. Moving on, though. Yeah, I mean... new folks to the thing. I mean, you're already putting them in the grind, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you got to play with for the most efficient way to unlock stuff. You've got to play with others. You have to get you playing with others right off the bat. So, yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Just the way you read the article feels like a little much for a brand new player or something like that.
I don't know why you can't have them. I don't know. I don't understand Overwatch. I haven't played Overwatch to know.
Mm-hmm.
Their music's good, though. I've used some of their tracks, but I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the game to know, like, why not just give them access to the characters? Mm. I liked Battleborn. Lethal Migraine says Battleborn was better than Overwatch. It's unfortunate it didn't succeed. I liked, at least, you know what? I actually never played Battleborn after release. I played it at all the events, like PAX and E3 and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, Battleborn was more interesting to me than Overwatch.
That was the Gearbox one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gearbox. But it had more interesting characters and abilities and sets. I mean, it was the same format as Overwatch, but the characters were more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Had more personality, I felt. But it was just the timing of it and... Man, when you think about the advertising from one compared to one to the other,
yeah,
man, you could probably see the writing on the wall about how this was going to turn out, because one had the backing of one had some serious advertising backing, and the other one didn't.
Well, it was So I don't know. Overwatch 2, I think, comes out this month. Did it say it was this month or is it next month? I don't remember. That's how closely I follow with Overwatch. So, what else do we have? Dead Space is going to be a one-take shot from beginning to end. which is a lot like what God of War did. In fact, they were inspired by what God of War did on the PlayStation 4, where there are no cuts. The camera stays with you the entire time. There are no cutaways at all. They kind of like that, the developers did for the Dead Space remake, and so they're going to do the same thing, which is interesting because I feel like it's something they would have done anyway if they weren't limited by the fact that they had to load in different levels and stuff like that. The technology's come a lot further now to where they can have that loading going on while you're still playing the game. A lot of that happened in God of War as well. A lot of the paths that you would walk down were lengthy or windy like that because as you're doing that, it's loading in what you're about to come into. So
no loading, no loading, no loading.
No
breaks.
Loading. No, no. They said... let's see. Well, where is it at? There it is. From the moment you start to the game to the moment you end the game, there are no camera cuts or load screens unless you die. The Ishimura is now fully interconnected, so you can walk from point A to point Z, visit the entire ship, and revisit locations you've already completed to pick up things you might have missed, which is something apparently you could not do in the first or in the original release of the game. It's now a completely unbroken experience. So,
I don't think I ever considered doing that in the in Dead Space.
What, going back?
Going back for stuff like that. It was like keep pushing forward as quick as possible, just to get off the ship.
Yeah, you know? I don't know what. I don't.
And the fact that resources were pretty readily available in terms of for your plasma cutter and whatnot, and seeing how the plasma cutter was the most reliable to me, weapon in the game, especially when you amped it up
to its
max level. Yeah,
they may tweak it on this remake as far as, you know, I don't want to say Zelda-fy it, where things are unlocked and you got to go back once you get an upgrade to get to it, or Metroidvania it up, I guess. Maybe that's a way to look at it. But they may incorporate something like that now that they have the ability for you to move back and forth. So thinking, okay, if we're going to do this, well, why don't we put something here that you can't get to until you're this far into the game and you need to go back and get it if you want it.
Yeah.
Collectible or something like that. Maybe nothing that will impede your progress, but something that if you are one of those collectible type players that you would go back for.
I'm going off of memory from the original Dead Space, but I'm thinking about how that navigation system would work if you had to go back for something, because you could set it to the objective or the main objective, or some side mission or whatever. If you're like going back for an item or whatever,
yeah,
or something that you need, I don't see that as being something that would be in the navigation menu. I mean, you'd have to go from memory. How do I get back to hydroponics from this location? I don't remember how to get there.
There's no map?
It was like that navigator. You hit the button and you
had
that
little thing on the floor.
I don't recall there being a map in the game. Maybe they put the one in there.
They may put one in there.
Yeah, they may have to put one in there then.
How much of a labyrinth was the place? Was it?
No, it was a maze. It was like follow the glowing line on the floor.
Okay.
Just depending on if you wanted to be the main objective or a side mission or whatever.
Yeah, there's me telling you I never played Dead Space. By the way, Dead Space is set to release on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X on January the 27th. So.
That was a. Giving more thought to getting a PS5, but I've got to get a better TV first. So I'm going to get the TV first before I start looking for a PS5.
What do you have currently?
A TV?
Yeah.
A white Westinghouse 1080 Pure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, from like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. Bump that up, man. Yeah. You deserve it. Bump it up. Get a better TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll kind of finish up talking about a bunch of little small things. There's not really any big thing to hit coming up after the break. But if you want to talk about anything, hit us up, Discord, or call us, 272-9228. Our next track, courtesy of Wendy, comes from Dead Rising 2. The track, I think, is called Evan McIntyre, but it's like Psycho Clown, I guess, one of the bosses in Dead Rising 2. I don't remember. So yeah,
I remember a clown in
there was a clown, but I want to say it was in number in the first one.
Now,
maybe it wasn't.
Two was Chuck Green, right?
I don't remember.
Is one Frank West? I don't think it was.
One was Frank West.
One is Frank West. I think two is the stunt rider. I think Chuck Green. I think his name was. And yeah, there was some. There was some crazy folks, and there was some crazy folks in all of them. But yeah, I think that was in there.
Yeah. Well, this comes from Dead Rising 2. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. It is music from Mario and Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, whatever that was called, which I think the sequel comes out next month or this month or later, whatever, before the end of the year, I think. This one's called A Stroll in the Cemetery. Let's see. What else do we have? Because, I mean, there's just not much left. There's going to be one difficulty setting for, was it Wolong?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the one that Team, is it Team Ninja? Or is that, yeah, that's the one from Team Ninja, right?
Let's see.
Yeah, it's Team Ninja.
Yeah.
So. The producer said, we're thinking it's good to have one set difficulty so that everyone has the same experience of overcoming a really intense obstacle and they all have that feeling of achievement. Like, I did it. But the caveat there is giving players all different ways that they can do that. They go on to comment that you could talk to your friends about beating a boss, share that experience. They also clarify that Wolong is not an easy game, but they want to give players as much freedom and agency to play as they wish. One thing that comes to mind is the morale system. You have a morale rank, and as you keep increasing it, you get stronger. And you can use that to choose which enemies to fight or raise it up so that you can take on a harder enemy, and maybe they'll be a little bit easier now that you're stronger. So. I mean.
Sounds like Dark Souls, but faster.
I was going to say, From Software has one difficulty setting in it, right?
Yeah.
There's no, you can't change difficulty.
No, yeah.
It is all, this is it. There is no easy, hard, medium, whatever.
No, just figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, the sounds like the same description for Wolong. I mean, it's just the morale system sounds like a quicker way to level up. I mean, I don't know if there is a leveling system.
That's what that sounds like.
It sounds like a leveling system for, yeah, so probably a faster way because it does take a while to gain levels. In the Souls series, especially for when you get up in the higher levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe they have just a fast way of leveling up with this morale system.
Steam dates or Steam sale dates for autumn, winter, and spring have been reviewed. This used to be a thing, man. And, you know, I still put it in there because I think, oh, people might want to know, but it's, you know.
It's just not what it used to be.
It ain't what it used to be. No. It really isn't. The Black Friday sale, I guess you could call it, the autumn sale, November 22nd through the 29th. The winter sale, as always, is December 22nd through January 5th. It's a nice mm-hmm. two-week stint of sales. And then the spring sale is March 16th through the 23rd. So there you go. Spring sale apparently is new for 2023. That sale will replace the Lunar New Year sale. So, yeah.
What was the best deal you ever got on a Steam sale?
$5 for... Sleeping Dogs.
Mm.
And it was $5 when it was supposed to be, it was a price mistake, and it lasted for all of maybe less than an hour, maybe less than 30 minutes.
It's a long time on the internet, man.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing, was that in probably less than that, you know, you sit there and you wait for, because this was back when Steam would, every day they would have some new sale. You know, it's like, okay, here's our daily deals. Mm-hmm. During the sale period. And so, and I remember hitting up James on this. I could probably find our conversations where it is. But I waited for that clock. The clock hit, and it was like Sleeping Dogs was $5. I was like, okay, boom. It's like a 90% off type thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't supposed to be that much.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was supposed to be. Probably something like $45 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was still when it was brand new, kind of.
Yeah.
And I got it. Have I played it since then? Nope.
Hey, you still got it, so good.
But I picked it up for $5.
It may not play it, but good. But still good that you still got it, because Sleeping Dogs is a pretty good game, man. It really is.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah,
it's a good game.
But I never fired it up. I should, mm-hmm. but I've heard good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Does it fall into any? It's not any kind of.
It's a crime. Crime
it,
game. Crime.
It feels
crime-like game,
Yakuza,
yeah.
Or you know, like a dragon-ish.
Yeah, type it's a story. It's a story-driven crime. Crime story type game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I never messed with
that type of a testing loyalties type thing,
right,
going
yeah.
on in there. Pretty interesting.
Do you get a lot of freedom of choice in that, as far as like your loyalty, I suppose? Do you have, or is it linear?
There's situations that your character's in that he has to push through, and there are some choices you have to make in that game. But really, it's pretty much a story based, really.
AC Wright says the world was a bit empty, but the fighting was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the fighting was...
Was it?
Fighting was, yeah, really something in that game.
I mean, I'm always...
I'm
always looking for some Batman fighting, you know?
Well, there's always those... I think one of the big things that stood out in Sleeping Dogs fighting-wise was the environmental attacks.
How inventive
your character is with using the environment around him.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you had... That reminds me of going back even further. There was a game called, it was The Punisher on PC, and I think it was on console. But at that time, the consoles would have been maybe just original Xbox, not 360.
Mm.
And so for the most part, yeah, you shoot and fight and that sort of thing. But if you were around certain objects, you could use those contextually in your fight to do finisher type stuff with, you know, throw them through glass, or if there was an oven nearby, you know, that sort of thing, burn them or something. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of different ways.
I think the Punisher game I ever played was that that side-scrolling final fight type thing. I think it was like Punisher and Nick Fury, I think, was the characters you could pick from in that one.
They did another Punisher game, and it was, and I can't even remember who the development was for it, but who did the development on it. But, I mean, it was not bad. It was nothing really, it wasn't anything amazing. They weren't going to do anything with it, but it was good. I'm surprised it didn't go further. I'm surprised they didn't get a sequel out of it.
Yeah.
Are you looking up the developer on it?
I see the Punisher.
Is it Ubisoft?
Developer Deep Silver Volition Amplified Games.
Deep Silver, yeah, that's who it was.
Publisher.
Volition. Yeah. It was Volition.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that goes back. That goes
April
back
of 2004.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said. 2004. That's a good ways back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the best deal I ever got on a Steam game during a Steam sale.
Yeah.
And again, that was back when they adjusted the prices, when they would have, you know, featured daily deals.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like, it used to be a time when it was like, suddenly 75% off.
They had deals that lasted 6 hours. So there were deals that would start, you know, every 6 hours you would have a new set of deals. Mm-hmm. And then they had another section of deals that were only 24 hours. And so, you know, those would change every day. And then you had your 6 hour quick deal type thing, speed deals, whatever they were mm-hmm. called. And so, but then, they stopped it. I can't remember what caused them to stop it, but they stopped it. So,
yeah.
Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
It's Rob.
Hey, Rob. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. I sent you a message, but hey, just that funeral home game you were talking about a while back.
Mortuary Assistant.
Mortuary Assistant, yeah. What platforms is that on? Do you remember?
I think it's just PC right now.
Just PC? Okay, that's too bad. Anything up and coming from Square Enix that you know of?
They announced a ton of RPGs.
Is that right? Yeah, GameStop had a big portfolio of stuff to, you know, that was on the horizon. But anything like really soon that you know that's going to be real?
No, not really soon, no. But they did have an announcement earlier this week, because I remember seeing it, and I didn't really pay attention to it, obviously, because it's not, and I need to get out of that feeling of like, well, I'm not interested in that, so who else is, type of thing, you know, because that's kind of like how that goes, because, you know, here you are bringing that up, and I really...
Yeah, I'm diehard, you know,
JRPG. No, you should be. I'm not saying, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I'm scrolling as fast as I can to see if I can find where that was.
See, a press thing for Square Enix, Nier Automata, this was October 6th for the Switch.
That's for the Switch,
Triangle Strategy, Harvestella.
What platforms are you playing on, Rob?
PS5 and Switch, generally what I
mean. Okay.
I've got a nice PC gaming rig, but generally the, you know, like Final Fantasy stuff doesn't come to it.
Yeah, here we go. I found the article, which is headlined as Square Enix is Drowning 2022 with New RPGs, and we are here for...
Do you mind shooting me a link to that on Messenger?
I will. Let me see if I can tell you... this is a very long article that they didn't sort of itemize. But I will... I'll send you that link on Messenger. I will do that.
Hey, that's great. Are you enjoying the Alabama game? They're only ahead by 5, last I checked.
They're ahead by quite a few now. We've got it on in the studio. Current score is 42-23.
Oh, wow. They got a touchdown since I left the house.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have a good one. I'm enjoying the show.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I got something in the chat list. I think that's what I was looking at for product-wise or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the... this is the link I was looking at. So for those of you in the chat room, you can see that and see what we're talking about. what else do we have? We had our first real look at HBO's The Last of Us series.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be arriving in 2023, but we got our first trailer for the series just this past week. Looks great. It's a trailer. It's a little tease type thing, but it looks really, really good. That's all I can tell you. It's based on a trailer.
Now this whole series is all based off of the first game, right?
Yeah, seems to be the first game, but I think they're going to also adapt the second game. The weird thing is that some of the stuff I was seeing in the trailer, I was like, okay, are they knocking out the entire game in the first season? Is this a multi-season thing? I don't know any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to, I don't know. It looks like, do you remember, you played the first one?
Look, I played the first one. This is what the concern I'm thinking about. How much leeway are the writers how much leeway are the writers going to have with this show? How much are they going to insert in or take out? Because how much can you really go? Because you know the story already of Last of Us. So how far can they extend this thing?
Well, they're not. They're retelling the story.
They're retelling the story. Yeah, yeah. So it's a set. It's a set thing. You know how long this
yeah, but my
go.
My curiosity comes from, what do you do next? You got two games to work with. So
season one, first game. Season two, second game.
What are you going to do next? Okay.
Well, why do you want next? You've got the story. Set the story. Tell the story. And that's
because if it's successful, they always want another.
And that's when you start. That's what I'm asking about leeway. How far are you going to try to extend this thing?
Well, that was my curiosity in watching this, because if you remember, the first game was told. I mean, there were chapters and stuff, but there were segments that involved seasons. You know, it would be fall, it would be summer, it would be winter. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing is kind of how you would change from here. You know, the big swift move, the big changes as far as to show that time had passed was, mm-hmm, you would move from a season. Chapters and stuff would take you through those seasons, but a big season shift was how the game moved forward time wise.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trailer, they're showing snow. And snow is not where the first game ended, but it was close, you know, to being over with. That's when she meets up with those other people, you know.
Fireflies?
No, they weren't fireflies. They were cannibals.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the first game. I didn't think about cannibals.
No, first game. You remember that?
I remember cannibals in the first game. All I remember was the ending of number one, getting.
No, there's a section before you get to that ending. There was a section
Joel
in
the hospital is what I'm talking about.
Right? Yeah. No. Before that section, it's Joel and Ellie in the woods, and she's taking care of Joel because he had a horrible spill back at the university at the college. At the end of that section, where the rebar goes right through his chest.
Yeah. The fake nice guy in the compound.
Right.
That guy.
Okay. Yeah. The one that was voiced by Nolan North, of all people.
Yeah.
Where they had the shootout in the restaurant. The restaurant's on fire, and it's snowing and everything else. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, the last thing I remember from the original Last of Us, like I said, Joel in the hospital.
Yeah.
Where Ellie's at. And then Ellie dealing with old dude in the mm-hmm, in the compound. But, yeah, so... Either they're going to do some, like you said, if it's popular, they want more, and it probably will be popular. Are they going to have some, like, the gap in between chapters, are they going to, like, fill it in with stuff that was something they their original idea based on what else is going on? Something like that?
All right, so according to this article here, The Last of Us will feature 10 episodes in its first season.
Okay.
And there's been no official announcement of a second season. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see that they don't get another season out of this. But I don't know. So, we'll see.
Well, the way it doesn't, if it fails miserably, and I'll see it fail. I shouldn't say it shouldn't fail, but depending on how the ratings and how it's received and how the ratings go, we'll determine that.
Yeah. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. I'm looking forward to it. It looked great.
Mm-hmm.
It looked fantastic. So, we kind of hit everything.
Cool.
we've touched on everything there. So I have no other stuff in the news hits to talk about. It is all there. It's all done, and that's about it. What are you going to play anything this coming week? You got any plans to play anything?
More fighting games, because I did pick up Capcom Fighting Collection. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it for the first few weeks it came out. But the best thing about it is that the Darkstalkers series is available to play online, mm-hmm, with this game. And I haven't played Darkstalkers competitively for a very long time. So it's nice to see if I can get back in the swing of things with that. Also, R-Type Final 2 had the new DLC come out, so I've got some remade stages to go through with that game now. So I got to go play those and see how well I can do get through that, because I think I've maxed out everything I can on my my ship, the Grace Note. It's my favorite ship from R-Type, despite the fact that there are hundreds of ships in that game. I'm still always going back to my Grace Note. So I want to see how well I can use that to get through the stages in the game. Outside of that, finish off my playthrough with my third alternate in Elden Ring, and then finally start getting into playthrough two, new game.
Mm-hmm.
New game with the other characters as well. And start picking up little things here and there. And see if I can get that Frenzied Flame ending, like I was talking about earlier, and get a platinum.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just a note, though, for anybody listening here. This is October. We are at October 1st. Normally, and maybe I did, but usually around the end of August, I tell you that, hey, it's the end of August. Probably shouldn't buy any games right now. Probably shouldn't be buying any games until we see what's going to happen for Black Friday.
Too late.
I know. Well, not for me. I haven't bought anything. Mm. But
I'm getting something on release, but
oh yeah,
that's going to be it's the only game really.
What is it?
PGA 2K23.
Okay.
Yeah.
When are you getting that? When's it out?
The 11th.
October 11th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what, 60 full price? 60?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. I'm only asking these questions because I'm making mental notes to see how much it's going to be come Black Friday. Mm. I know. Well, no, it's one of those pure examples where you can say, look, this thing released October 11th. A little over a month later, you can get it for this much. I don't know that it's going to go down in price. It may not.
It might not, yeah.
It's, what is that, EA?
Mm-mm.
Who is?
2K.
Oh, it's 2. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. It may, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. But we'll start gathering the Black Friday deals as they start coming in, and we'll get the spreadsheets going and let you know where you can find what for a good deal. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy was a great deal last year. Got it for $25.
Mm-hmm.
It released in September, or was it October?
I don't know.
It was either September or October, I think, it released.
Speaking of price drops, didn't Saints Row drop?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think Saints Row dropped. I think
that'll be one, though. It released in August. You can probably pick up Saints Row for Black Friday for a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one? I'll look for Returnal for the second year in a row to see if it drops in price, but I'm not holding my breath for it. We'll see. Always a fun time during the Black Friday days because it's always, yay, you know.
Yeah.
Good deals on stuff. I can pick things up. I got Hot Wheels Unleashed for Black Friday last year. And yeah, we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're about to wrap this thing up here. So I want to thank you all for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody who is listening on the stream. Thank you to Rob. Thank you to Chris who called in. Really appreciate that. Don't forget to download the show on iTunes or, you know, however you get your shows for later use. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on what else? Twitch. That's the other subscription thing you can do. Subscribe to us on Twitch. Find us on Discord, all that good stuff. And just have a fantastic week. And we will see you next Saturday. I'll leave you here with music from Pokemon. It is called The Old Chateau. So have a good one. Happy spooky season, and we'll see you next week.